Well, let's turn to Psalm 88. It's where we are tonight, Psalm 88. We have quite a long introduction tonight for Psalm 88. A lot of big words to explain. I'll just go ahead and read that introduction. In some of your Bibles, you'll have this introduction, and maybe others you wouldn't, but it's before verse 1. It's just an introduction. And it says this about Psalm 88. A song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Mahalath, Leonoth, Maskil of Heman the Ezraite. So there's a lot of language for you right there with those big words. I was reading, one of my granddaughters was reading a chapter from the Bible to me yesterday. And she was trying to pronounce all these long Old Testament names. And she did about as well as I do. But she got to the famous names that are just great in the Old Testament, Huzz and Buzz. Anybody remember Huzz and Buzz? Yeah, it's always so great to get to those guys because they're so easy to pronounce and kind of fun coming out, you know. But here we have some pretty big things going on. So this, first of all, is a song of, or psalm for the sons of Korah. And remember that Korah was in the priestly tribe of Levi. And his sons, through the ages, became choir directors and singers. And it is kind of neat the way that works many times, that families will be blessed with these same gifts. And so they did God much service through the years to be singers in the temple and the tabernacle area. Now it says to the chief musician upon Mahalath. And so Mahalath, let's look at that word a little bit. The Bible scholars believe that this was a tune or an instrument, either one. And they're not sure about that. They have a question mark about that, but there are some that put forth the instrument of the pipe played on sad occasions. For as we get into this psalm, we're going to see that this is a sad psalm. There isn't really anything really beautiful about it as far as warm fuzzies. It's a very sad song. But praise God, as we go through it, we'll be able to contrast what Jesus said. And some of the things in here are just untrue for the believer. True for the non-believer, but not true for the believer. And so we'll be able to be encouraged tonight with those things. Leonoth is really to afflict. And this really describes the despair which permeates this song. It's all about what it feels like to die. And you know what's neat about this psalm is that it can help us to appreciate what Jesus Christ did for us the more. Because death is horrible. Leading up to death, the worries and the sickness bringing death on is just unbearable to read about and think about without Jesus. And so this is why we really work hard to bring Jesus into the lives of others around us so that they don't have to experience what is really laid down in words and feelings and emotions concerning death in Psalm 88. So the next word we look at is maskal, which is meaning a contemplative psalm, things to think about, or a psalm of understanding, things to bring understanding about the reality of death, and also a skillful psalm, a psalm that's skillfully played and brought forth through the sons of Korah to a worship place, and also skillfully laid down by the Lord. For the Bible says that he skillfully led the children of Israel through the wilderness, and he skillfully works to let us know about the realities of life. Life and death, and he wants us to know about these things so that we can be warned, we can be corrected and instructed in righteousness, and leading us to his son Jesus, who came to die for us, to take away the pains of death from us as believers. So praise God for that. Now it says here at the end of this psalm of Heman, the Ezrahite. Now Heman was actually a musician from the family of the Kohathites. Kohathites is a priestly name. Actually, over in Israel, you can take a Q-tip and put it inside your cheek, and they can test through your DNA, through the saliva that find on your cheek, in your mouth, whether you are part of the priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi, and actually related to Aaron, the high priest. And yeah, there's a whole article that I have on that. It's just fascinating. And it has a list of names that they test because Kohath is priest, a priesthood. And so we know that Heman was of the family of the Kohathites and a musician from that family who founded the Kohathite choir. He may be the same person who was one of the wise men during Solomon's reign. And that's found in 1 Kings 4:31. But anyway, names like Katz, K-A-T-Z, that's my doctor's name, Dr. Katz. He's very Jewish, but I believe he's very saved too. We've had some really great exchanges. In fact, I took that article that I found and Xeroxed it for him and took it over to his office, and he immediately faxed it to his father, the senior Katz, because his name was in that article as possibly being related to Aaron, the first high priest. Now, it's really interesting that God has allowed this through a kidney specialist sitting in a synagogue in Canada, had this revelation about how to do this because he was well trained as an MD. And it is so awesome that God has had this happen in our generation, that they can identify folks that are related to the first high priest, Aaron, because when the Antichrist allows the temple in Israel to be rebuilt, it could not be a legitimate Old Testament temple unless they find someone related to the high priest Aaron. And they never ever could do that through the years until now, as God gave this revelation to this Jewish doctor sitting in a synagogue in Canada to come up with this deal. And they've actually identified many people that are related to him through the DNA study. Isn't that incredible? And God is amazing. So praise God for that. Now, I just gave you the introduction. And just to say this again, that this psalm of facing trouble and death without a strong faith, it's actually a psalm without a strong faith written into it, in the Lord God, that is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. Without a faith, and we'll see that as we go through, make us more thankful for him. At the end of this psalm, it's our goal tonight, and I think it's why this psalm was written, is to just cause us to appreciate that much more what Jesus has done for us. The despair in this psalm that many have felt, and just sad for our hearts to know about, is the non-believers actually experiencing this, as it's talked about, where you and I can praise God that we've been delivered from the power of death. And so let's begin reading now. And it says this in Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws nigh unto the grave. Now, this person is almost dead. My life draws near to the grave at this time. They've suffered and suffered, and now it's time for them to die, and they just have been through so much trouble. If you go over to verse 15, we get more insight about this person. I am afflicted and ready to die. from my youth up, from my youth up. And so this person has been afflicted with some kind of horrible disease from being a baby or a child. And they've just suffered and had trouble and all kinds of affliction all the way through their lives, and now it's time for them to die. And so we go on, and it says in verse 4, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I just feel like, you know, a pit's going to open up and I'm going down. And of course, in those days, they talked about a place called Sheol, which was the place of afterlife. And those that didn't have a good, strong faith, like David did, can really be wrapped up in the fear of death, going down to the pit, the place of afterlife, not knowing about the resurrection like Job did, like David did, because of their great faith in the Lord. And so it's so important for us to have that faith. But I am, he says here again, I am counted with them that go down to the pit. I am as a man that has no strength. I don't have any strength left. He wasn't really exercising faith to receive strength from the Lord. You and I, we can quote Deuteronomy when we have no strength and we feel like we're just out of strength. We can say, in faith, as your days are, so shall your strength be. And you can then be renewed in your strength. This verse, along with those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, has helped me so much through the years when I just feel that my strength is gone. I just feel weak, I'm shaking, whatever, and there's something to do. And I call upon the Lord and mix that calling with faith in those verses, quote those verses back up to God, and I'm sure many of you do that. And when Brother Marvin's not feeling so hot, we quote this verse together and receive the strength and just praise God, receive it. It's a promise of the Lord. As your days are, so shall your strength be, and those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so what a great thought to have. But this man is saying, I am as a man that has no strength. Now, verse 5 is something that you really don't want to spend a lot of time dwelling on, because it's something that, yes, is true for the non-believer, but you never want to think this way as a believer. Verse 5 says this, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom you remember no more. Wouldn't it be awful if that were true? And without Christ, it is true. Like, just like a person that's dead, that God doesn't remember anymore. Oh man, that's horrible to write that down and believe that that's true. Among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom you, Lord, remember no more. And they are cut off from your hand. That God can't reach them anymore because they're in the grave. They're dead. And it's like a friend of mine used to say, we grew up together, we were best friends all through our lives. But it came that time when we had a splitting of ways. We used to say to each other, and I don't say this is a good thing to say, but when we were young, if we wanted to see if each other was telling a lie, we'd say, do you swear to God that's true? And then if it wasn't true, we would both not continue with the lie because we respected God that way. But I don't think swearing to God is a way to respect God. It was just in our ignorance before we grew up more. That's what we would do. But he would have that much respect for God growing up. But then in college, he went south, real south. And he says, you know what? There is no God. When you're dead, you're dead. And when you're 6 feet under, you're 6 feet under, just like a worm. And that's what he told me, actually one of the last times I saw him. And he's just a total non-believer, didn't want to hear anything about the Lord anymore. And so it says, they are cut off from your hand. Now, this is absolutely not true for the believer, thank God. and bless the Lord. And I want to show you a couple of verses and just enjoy these verses together. First, Malachi chapter 3. And we've had this verse recently, but just to enjoy it again, let's go to Malachi 3:16. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. It's the book where John the Baptist is promised to come before Jesus. Now we want to go to Malachi 3:16. It says this about those that fear the Lord. If you remain with that respect in your heart for God, this is for you. This is about you. This is about the believer. And remember that we just read in the psalm about the person that's in a place of no faith. God doesn't remember me anymore. And when I'm in the grave, he doesn't remember me. And his hand has cut me off. Now, that's just not true, because let's read this. Malachi 3:16. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And so as we fellowship like we're doing tonight, and we talk about the Lord, and afterwards we might say something to one another about how God blessed us, or what God's been doing in our lives, we're remembering the Lord and we're having a respect for him. It says here that the Lord's listening. The Lord hearkened and heard it. Every time you have a conversation about the Lord with someone else, God is listening. He's going, wow, did you hear what they said about me? Maybe to the angels or the Godhead fellowshipping together. As they were saying, well, praise the Lord. You know what happened today, man? It was so great. You know, I got this great wave or whatever, you know. And the Lord hears it. And he's blessed to hear that you are recognizing him, even though you can't see him. Like Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen, you've believed. Blessed, happy is that person that has not seen and yet believes. And so, when we talk about the Lord and speak often of him in our fellowship times and together on the phone with other believers, the Lord listens and hears it. And a book of remembrance is written before him of them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. So is he going to remember you after the grave? Yes, he's going to remember you. He's got a whole book of the things that you said about him. Now, that might be a little convicting, but you need to change that. Change it from conviction to blessing. What are you saying about the Lord? He never listens to me. Don't say that. Say the Lord's on the throne and he's helping me and he daily loads me with benefits. That's what he says in his word. And when I'm gathered together with anybody else, even just two people together in his name, he's right in the middle of me. He's right here. And he's hearing what I say about him. And he's writing it down. Glory to God. And as I think upon him and muse upon him, the Lord records that. So the answer to the question, is he going to remember me after the grave? Yay and amen. Can you say that? Yay and amen. He's really going to remember you. Isn't it neat when somebody remembers your name? Now, I have a problem with that sometimes. Sometimes I do really good, but sometimes I do really, really bad and don't remember somebody's name, especially with the poor youth that's going through the church and sees me and says hi to me, and I don't remember their name. And I can see, you know, in their eyes kind of a little hurt, and it just kills my heart. So I wish I could remember everybody's name. But you know how that feels when somebody recognizes you and just somehow remembers your name. I remember at a retreat one time, and Pastor Chuck was going by, and he said, hey, Mark, how you doing? Oh, he knows my name. I was so blessed that Pastor Chuck knew my name at that time. I think he's forgotten it now again, but he's got so many, you know. people to remember, and out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. But it is, it's such a blessing. But the Lord, He's got every hair on your head number. He knows your name. I think there's a song like that, isn't there? He knows my name, something like that. And He does. So now let's read the next verse here, because it's equally as blessed. It says this, verse 17, Malachi 3. And they shall be mine, says the Lord. We belong to Him. It's just like you belong to your grandmother, or your grandfather, or your dad and your mom, or your brother, or your sister, your blood. And guess what? We're blood with the Lord because of the blood of Jesus. We are made one with God. You are mine. You belong to me. You're my child. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so, you shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day, this is after death now, in that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And so when God brings the rewards forth, the gold, silver, and precious stones from each life, when He makes up His jewels, you are His. You belong to Him. And He rewards you for whatever He does through your life when we get to heaven. And so you can see how untrue this is for the believer. So as we read Psalm 88, we must be very careful that when someone says, He will remember me no more in the grave, and He has cut me off from His hand, nothing could be further from the truth for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And so this is a blessing we need to carry. Now also, along the same lines, I couldn't skip Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 22. And let's go there, Hebrews, New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Now in Hebrews 12, it's talking about our position in Christ. And it says, you are come unto Mount Zion. That's God's dwelling place. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We talked about that last week. I showed you stones that were described that would be in the walls of the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God one day. And so we are come unto Mount Zion, the place of God's dwelling, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels. So this word company really blessed me. A huge company of angels. We come into that when we are take our journey to heaven, as well as to the New Jerusalem. And another translation says 10,000s of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels. We will come into their company, and they will be glad to see us, happy to meet us. And what a blessing to go into such a large group of wonderful beings that have been created to be the ministers of the servants of God. We all have our angels watching over us, according to Hebrews chapter 1. Just like Amy Grant sang it so well a few years back. And so there we are. And we'll be coming into their company. And I'm having company over tonight, Mom. Oh, really? Who's the company? 10,000s of angels are going to be my company tonight. Glory to God. I hope you have enough tea. And so we'll just have to have one giant big Starbucks in heaven, right? Maybe not. Okay. To innumerable company of angels. And verse 23, so precious. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Now remember what we read back in Malachi, that the Lord remembers the things that are said about him by you on earth, writes them in his book of remembrance, writing these things down in his book of remembrance along with your name. And so it says that we come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, in the book of life. The Bible refers to it as the book of life. And Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven to the believers. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is really neat, that we are justified through the blood of Jesus. And so we are just men and women. Just men and women, that is justified. Justified is just as if I never sinned. Justified. Who he justified, he also glorified. Romans chapter 8. And so I am justified. And I'm a justified man or woman by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for me, washing away all of my sins, just as I'd never sinned. Then God begins to work on me to conform me to his perfect image. And so I come into, when I go to the heaven, to the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, Jesus being the firstborn from the dead in preeminence, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And so all of a sudden, I'm going to be in the company of all these angels, and I'm going to be among men and women that you see here right tonight at church. I am so excited about Calvary Anaheim in heaven. I've been the pastor here for 31 years, and there's a lot of faces that I've seen out in these pews. I think if nobody ever left this church, it'd be about 30,000 people here. It seems like that. But you know, God keeps us at the right size for the right thing he wants to do. And so we are here. But when we get to heaven, we'll all be together. And I'm going to see you and recognize you. I see Jerry sitting there in his green shirt. I wonder if he'll have that green shirt on. No, it's going to be white, brother. It's going to be pure white, an aura of glow. And your eyes are going to be shining with passion for Jesus. And just like when you're filled with the Spirit now. And I'm going to say, hey, Jerry. Say, hey, Mark. And we're going to see one another right there in heaven. And Jim's going to blow that horn. Yes. And we're going to rejoice. And I wonder if Derek will find a yo-yo up there to show us how to do it. He's really good at that. Okay. Okay, dude. Yeah, no chocolate cake on my white robes, right? Yeah. No. And so there it will be. We'll be together of the men and the women that were justified through the blood of Jesus, made perfect. We're all going to be perfect, absolutely 100% sinless and unable to even think an evil thought anymore. Praise God. And so we're going to be just looking at each other and going, hey, we can hang out and we don't have to worry about if one of us is going to say something wrong or step on each other's toes. Because we'll just say everything, right? We'll have the proper actions and reactions because we're going to be totally, totally immersed in the love of Jesus Christ. We're going to be perfect. And so when the guy in the Old Testament in chapter that we just read from Psalm 88 says, I'm going to be cut off. I'm going to be cut off from his hand. Nothing could be further from the truth for the believer. So we can praise God that that's not something we'll ever face. Now see, the non-believer is a different story, and it's sad to say. But you know what hell is, and I've heard it described this way many times, it's just simply eternal separation from God. Oh, these guys that are so deceived to think they want to do it their own way and walk away from the gift of Jesus Christ and then to go forever outside the presence of the Lord. They will be outside, the scripture says, away from the presence of the Lord, really in the lake of fire. And they're eternally separated from God. And they'll just have all kinds of evil there because that's what they wanted in this life. very, very hard. So Psalm 88 is kind of a scary psalm in a way, because the Bible's all true. And these guys are just saying the truth about death that we've been delivered from and how thankful we are to an innumerable company of angels and to the church of the firstborn, to men and women and spirits of men and women that were justified here on the earth like we and are now made perfect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the highlight of heaven, to Jesus, we'll be going to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant or New Testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, if you remember, Abel offered sacrifice of animals to the Lord, and they were accepted of the Lord. But you see, the blood of Jesus is much better than an animal. The animal blood was pointing towards, in symbolic fashion, to the eventual death of Christ on the cross. For animals need to be sacrificed again and again to kofar, to actually just cover sin. But when Jesus came, he came and died once and for all. For his blood didn't just cover the sin, kofar, it's a Hebrew word, but cleansed it. And I'm in a continual cleansing process as a believer in Jesus Christ. He's continually washing me of my sin. And this is a tremendous truth. And again, the revelation of the contrast that we see in Psalm 88 to who we are and where we're going is tremendous. Okay, well, let's go on back now to Psalm 88 and read a little further into the idea of really the death that Jesus delivered us from. So we're going back to Psalm 88. Now, we're going to go ahead and read verses 6 through 8. It says this, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit. Doesn't that sound wonderful? In darkness, there'll be a darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the depths, your wrath lies hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all your waves. Now here upon the earth, and we've experienced this at times in our lives, and there are those that live a whole life like this, in affliction with all of his waves, is that actually one terrible thing after another, horrible, terrible thing after another comes my way, is what the psalmist is saying. And of course, this is a person that's been sick his whole life, and he has not mixed that sickness with faith in what Christ can do. Let me share an example of a person that took their illness and sickness and turned it into a huge blessing. I love to share this testimony. There's a woman that was born blind, and she was blind her whole life. And she would come into church, in this other church that we were in with, well, actually this was a testimony from that church, but she would come in and put her hand up to feel the sun rays coming through the window in the church. And she would come in every Sunday morning and just feel the sunshine. And someone was feeling really sorry for her because she was blind. And she said, don't worry, honey. She said, I am blessed because the first face I will ever see is Jesus Christ. Now there's a woman that got it right and said, you know what? I'm just going to take the lemons and make lemonade, right? We've heard that saying before. And with Jesus, you can do it. You can do it. Now, this man decided to say, I've been sick my whole life and now I'm going to die and I'm going to a pit and that's it. Just go, come on, man. Let's get out of this attitude and come to Jesus. And so we read this then. Thou hast put away my acquaintance from me. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. And so this person is feeling claustrophobic and shut up, and he is saying that his acquaintance, you, Lord, have put away mine acquaintance far from me. Now, that's another thing for folks that are on the way to hell. They make less and less friends. And they, because they're selfish and self-centered and refusing to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow him, which is the self-denial discipline of discipleship, that makes you a person, a giving person. And they get lonelier and lonelier because people don't put up with that. They just walk away. And so they find themselves alone and they begin to blame God. You have put away my acquaintance far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. And this doesn't have to be. And this is not the way it is in the Lord. Remember what we just read in Hebrews, and I'd like to contrast that thought again with Hebrews 12:23. I'm coming to the general assembly of the firstborn, to just men made perfect. And you know what perfect men do and women? They absolutely watch out for you. If they're walking in Jesus, their whole life is centered around serving others. And they will come to serve you and come to minister to you and take care of you. Boy, it is so neat. And I know that probably every one of us here has had this experience as Christian. If someone really knows you're hurting, man, does God touch the hearts of other Christians that come alongside and help? And all of a sudden, you have friends surrounding you, and they're concerned about you, and they want to hear every single thing you want to share. And God just pours his love upon that filled Christian. And we're all going to be perfect in heaven. Can you imagine how much love you're going to be getting in heaven? Can you imagine how much concern you'll get in heaven? Can you imagine how many people will come alongside to help? And 16-foot angels, or whatever, however tall they are, I just heard stories of big ones, coming just to love you and just pat you on the back and accept you into the assembly as company. You are company, and we will take care of you. Oh, yeah. And this is how it is with the Lord. But you see, with the person that's bent on dying and bent on bitterness, just had the saddest story told to me this week. We went up to the desert house and took some grandkids up there, and what a blessing that was. But we met the neighbor next door for the first time, and they told us about how they came to live there, and they told the story of the man that had built the house and sold it to them. How he was totally estranged from his whole family. They had no communication for like 25 years. And so he had a caregiver that he hired. And when he died, he had no one but the caregiver to leave the house to. And so then the caregiver was the one that actually sold it to the people. But what a sad, sad state of affairs to hear about. How does that happen? It happens through pride, through dumb arguments. And you know, the Lord puts those in families that have no families. And if he had accepted Jesus, he would have had a church family and not had to hire someone to be his friend. It's just the saddest, saddest story. There's a church just a few miles away. It's called Joshua Springs Church. It's a Calvary Chapel up there in the desert. And oh, what a church. What a church that church is. I love that church. And Pastor Gerard is up there. And the things that they're doing, and it reminds me of our church. I'll just be honest. I don't want to brag about our church, but it is the best church in the world. And, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of love around here. And God fills the Christians with his love because they've said, fill me, God. Fill me, God. And so we get to know each other, and we're concerned for one another. And if somebody shares that something hurts, we want to pray for them and ask God to touch them and heal them. Which reminds me, little Dwight is suffering right now with a high fever. And so how old is Dwight? DJ, is it? He's three years old? Let's pray for him right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for Joanne Levitt. We thank you, Lord, that she's kind of the head of the whole family, the clan around here. And Father, we just want to pray, Lord Jesus, for this little guy, 3 years old, with this high fever. And we just want to pray for him in the name of Jesus, that that fever would break, that you would show what's best to be done for him, Lord. And we're asking for healing, complete 100% healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God for Dwight, and may God touch him and heal him. But this thing of the love of God is so important and so true for us. So this poor, tormented person in Psalm 88, talking about that he has no acquaintance, that he's an abomination to his friends. You know, the Lord can change that, even if we have no one. As I quoted earlier, God puts those in families that have no families. And it even says this in the Word of God. If my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And God brings other fathers and other mothers to us and blesses us with that blessing. There's a lady here in the church, her name is Dell, and she's been here for years. And when we went to Israel the first time, she was on the bus, and we became very good friends. And she's like old enough to be my mom. And her son's name is Mark Edward, and then the last name. My name is Mark Edward Bove. And my mom, when she was mad at me, she would go, Mark Edward! And so I knew my middle name real well. But, you know, when my mom passed away, you know, God really comforted me a lot through Dell. And just what a blessing she is. I just bring her up, but there's so many others that I feel are like moms to me. And Marvin is definitely like a dad to me. Bill and I were talking about that today. He's like both of our dads. And I've said often, I want to be just like Marvin when I grow up, you know. It's kind of neat to be older and say that about somebody that's even older. And so what a blessing that God can do that. And God can change things and make our acquaintance not far from us, but close to us. And actually bring us into great comfort so we don't feel shut up and not able to come forth. But God brings us into a broad place of putting those in families that have no families. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go on reading. Good, we have like 10 minutes, so just a little further to go. Now, this person in their prayer begins to tell the Lord and reason with the Lord that the Lord should keep them from death. But never, again, he never expresses any faith about it. But let's read verse 12. It says, shall your wonders be known in the dark and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Well, the answer to that is really no, not in the land of forgetfulness. His wonders won't be known. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou your face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer the terrors, I am distracted. Your fierce wrath goes over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water, and they compass me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. Period. End of psalm. Bummer. It's just a bummer that these things this man is experiencing. He's crying to the Lord. He's asking for the Lord. But somehow he forgets what all the other psalms do. At the end, they express faith in the Lord and his deliverance. And mix the crying out, and this is a good point for us tonight, mix your crying out with faith. Remember how it talks in Hebrews chapter 4 about the children of God in the wilderness, and definitely this man's in the wilderness concerning death. It says that the gospel was preached to them, those in the wilderness, as well as to us, but they did not mix it with faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And so I must rise up in my soul. During the trouble, during the musing upon death experiences, to end my psalm, to end my thinking, to end whatever complaint I have, and many times many of us identify and feel these things, with faith in Christ, with, Lord, I know you're going to help me because I'm crying to you. The way David puts it is, I cried unto the Lord, and He delivered me from all my fears. That's something in the same sentence. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, and He shall help me with the health of His countenance upon my countenance. And so I must remember those things. I just quoted Psalm 43 there for us. Remember, we went through that. And David's from Psalm 37. And so here we have this psalm with no mixing of faith in it. It's unique that way in the Psalms. This is a unique psalm. It ends with darkness. The last word in this psalm is nothing of praise, nothing of beauty, but it's darkness. And so I want to bring that message to you and I in a very deep way tonight. Please don't remain in Psalm 88 if you find yourself there. Remember the truth of what Jesus said and did in the Bible. Be thankful for that. He's made that provision to bring us up and out. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. We must believe Him for that help and begin to praise Him for His deliverance even before it happens. God is so good. Pastor Chuck always preaches about a time in his life where he was in a mess and praying to God. It was a money situation. And his friend called him on the phone and said that something is in the mail for him. And he began to praise God and run around the living room, worship the Lord. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, why didn't you do that before he called when you were just trusting me? I'm your Father. Deliverance, you should have known deliverance was on the way already. But your friend had to call you, and on his word, you start dancing in the living room. But on my word, that I will always take care of you. Take no thought of what you eat or drink, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Why didn't you praise me earlier? Well, my son James was listening to this message that Chuck's preached many times in his sermons through the years. It's an example in his life to praise God before the deliverance comes, knowing that it's on its way. And my son James was listening to that message on the radio, and he needed a little over $1,000 for his rent. And he just took it to heart. He says, you know what? $1,000 is not here, but I'm going to start praising God right now that God's sending it somehow, some way, someday I'll see that money. And he did. And then the mailman came, and guess what was in the mail? A check for $1,000. And he said, Lord, I think I'll try that again. But we must mix with our despair as well as with our trusting God for all He'll give. Praise, worship, thanking Him in advance, because He will not leave you comfortless, and He's never going to forget you. In fact, He said in Isaiah 49, will a mother forget her suckling child? She may, but I will not forget you. I have carved you on the palms of my hands. Now, there's a heavy verse for you. I have carved you on the palms of my hands. I have that actually up in my office in my house. Mike Scoggins gave me that years ago. Remember that, Mike? He gave me that plaque that says, I have carved you on the palms of my hands. See, there's my brother right there. He's one of those that hangs out around me and helps me. And they're all over the church, aren't they? Uta makes chocolate cookies for Derek. Lucky dude. It's wonderful, isn't it? The love of God. Watching out for one another in the love of Jesus. Well, I've just got one more thing to say. And that is, again, the truth of this. This psalm is unique in that it forgets to praise God. Let's contrast now just one other psalm that you can see the beauty of including the worship and praise for God, even though there's trouble. Let's go to Psalm 54. Psalm 54. Yeah, I chose Psalm 54 because it's a short psalm, so it won't take long to read it, but it does demonstrate what we're talking about here. That Psalm 88 ends with darkness, begins with hardship, and ends with darkness. And it's just to contrast this psalm with Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name, and judge me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. And so here's trouble. But look at verse 4 on. Behold, God is my helper. He's going to help me through this. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Instead of saying, all my acquaintances are gone forever, this man is saying in faith, you know what? The Lord is with them that help my soul. I have folks that are filled with the Lord that are going to help me. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. He's going to take care of this. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, remembering back how God delivered him before. And my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. And so there's a contrast. There are two ways to go with your trouble. There's two ways to go with your thinking of death, or your fear of death, or your fear of this, or your fear of that, or feeling that all acquaintances have been cut off from you, or you've had a bad lot and a bad life, and all kinds of trouble and woe, and it's never going to end. My name is Eeyore. Now, you can choose that way. Or you can choose to say, you know what? God, my helper. Jesus died for me on the cross. And he's taken me to heaven, and I'm going to be a bunch of in the middle of a whole bunch of angels just loving on me. And I'm going to be in the midst of all kinds of people that God has justified and has made perfect. And those that he's still working on here on the earth are filled with him from time to time to come alongside and help me, because I belong to him too. And I call upon the Lord with those that call upon him from a pure heart. And that's what you're doing tonight. Come to church. Call upon the Lord with those that call upon him with a pure heart, those that love his appearing. And then God begins to minister and to share his heart and to bring people alongside to help in the time of need. He does that. It's his job. He loves to do it. It's as simple as that. And so remember, when death is on the door or things are going bad, that these things are true and right. And we always need to end our psalm with praise and thanksgiving and looking to him. It's a wonderful thing. When we have a bunch of really hard prayer requests, when we're praying for the nation, sometimes it gets bogged down because you're going, whoa, look at this. The economy, the war on terror, you know, and what's happened in the Middle East, and you pray these things and you pray these things, and you know, but then you know what we do? We start singing. We start singing. He's Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he's the Lord. And you just begin to sing and lift and up. And this is just a wonderful thing to remember to do. So praise God. Let's pray together, and we're going to sing. So, Lord, we appreciate so much, Lord, your word. And we do thank you for Psalm 88, for it is a negative example for us to see where how it is to just stay there in the things of death, to begin to say things that really relate to those that will spend eternity away from you. Father, thank you, Lord, for saving us. Please help us to be used and filled to save others, to bring others into the reality that you definitely win in the end, and that you're busy, hard busy, making us winners and not losers. We are not losers because you have chosen to love us and to fill us and to use us. So, Father, we want to trust you now and give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus yet, I sure hope that by now you know that he really wants to know you. And he is the greatest father. Oh, he's the greatest father that a man or woman could ever know. It is the truth. And I know that you will know that if you'll open your heart to him. If you have sin that you need to deposit, come deposit it today. John Luke's here waiting for you in the prayer room. Just confess it up to him. Ask forgiveness for it. Ask him to help you turn around from it and accept him as your Savior and your Lord. And you too will be one day ushered in to be company with 10,000s of angels and to the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. That's your future. May the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you and stabilize you. I think we all need to be stabilized, don't you? We need stabilizers. And you know, it's neat to have three stabilizers: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.